Welcome to this episode, which is about the idea of heaven and hell and everything in between. When I first started exploring spiritual things, I believed that hell was manufactured by religions to keep people in fear and control. I wasn't too sure about heaven either. I just thought the spirit world was part of something else, and religion were just making these images to keep us pliable and tolerant and under control. But as I've explored deeper, I've discovered that there's far more to it than meets the eye. The earth plane that we live on is part of the spirit world. We're in it. The earth plane is just a part of it. That's why communication is possible between the two worlds. Heaven and hell are a state of mind. Your mind and how you think will completely change your experience. When it says on earth as it is in heaven, it's because heaven is the state of mind that we bring to the earth. If you let things that happen on the earth affect your state of mind, instead of letting your state of mind affect how you see the world, you'll forever be pulled in each direction and you'll be filled with negativity. When I read books, things like Dante's Inferno and Milton's Paradise Lost, there are visions of hell that are quite disturbing. A lot of these mystics had these experiences while they were ill, suffering with fever and things like this. And so we put them down to mere hallucinations. But having had my own experience, especially very recently, I was suffering with incredible pain. I nearly went blind. And I had very similar, very profound visions. They were so clear that I had to open my eyes just to check whether they were closed or not. And for a few moments, I started thinking, maybe this is where I'm, you know, maybe I've not been a good enough person and this is where I'm going. But I was shown this for my own benefit. What I saw was more disturbing than anything I could have imagined. And I'll give some very brief explanations. People who had been completely overwhelmed with lust, greed, envy, gluttony. They seemed like very normal people at first, but they were mostly concerned with physical things, bodily things, sexual things. But things like overeating, overindulgence. And we all suffer with this from time to time, so we shouldn't feel too bad about it. But these souls in particular, they had no other spiritual knowledge. They only had physical knowledge. And as I was being taken through these different levels, I saw these mischievous beings. And one I'll describe, he was like a rodent, stood on two legs, and he was wearing a sort of gown. And he kept trying to provoke me. He followed me about and kept trying to nudge at me. And it got to the point where I got irritated. And I went to kick him away. And he laughed because that's what he wanted me to do. And as I got more annoyed and irritated with him, I noticed I was being dragged further and further down until I saw these people. And at first they just seemed normal, but then they would become disfigured. And they would start bulging at the sides and, you know, not trying to make your stomach turn, but they would then empty all this putrefaction out onto the floor. And then they would sort of sink further. I didn't spend very long here because I felt that this wasn't for me. And I suddenly realised what I needed to do. And I said the Lord's Prayer and I was raised up a little. But I was still brought back to these realms, which I then discovered were the astral realms. Lots of these mischievous little beings running around trying to provoke people. And I recognised some of them from an experience I had a few years ago. A friend of mine that I met through spiritual circles. He used to get carried away and sit up late at night on the internet, drinking Red Bull, taking speed, and trying to give psychic readings out to as many people as possible. He didn't really believe in prayer. He didn't really believe in goodness. He wanted to impress people. He wanted people to be scared of what he knew. He ended up phoning me up one morning, begging me to come round because these beings were pestering him. I didn't see them with my physical eyes, but I sensed them. And this is why I recognised them when I was in this realm. He went on to suffer quite badly over a period of weeks and months with these hallucinations. And I know that they weren't merely hallucinations. They were doing what they were doing to him because of what he had been doing to other people. Giving messages and trying to force yourself on people who haven't asked for it is a psychic attack. You know, if someone refuses the healing you're sending to them, don't send it because they have made a decision that they don't want it, and there's nothing you can do about that. But what this young man was doing was becoming quite demonic. And I think it's lucky that he had this attack because he didn't take it any further. He then changed a little bit. He went back to his old life. He stopped doing any spiritual work and he went back to, you know, concentrating on his career. And I saw him one day in the street, and unfortunately I didn't have my glasses on or my contact lenses, so I didn't recognise him at first. But as I got closer to him, I realised I didn't recognise him because he looked completely different. He put on some weight, he actually looked better, but he didn't look the same. Something changed inside him, for the better I think, because he'd stepped away from it all. That experience shook him so much that he decided to quit altogether. And the other thing that I realised when I was in this realm is that these beings, they are taking away your negativity, because a heavenly state of mind is nowhere for negativity to exist. So people who carry it around with them, they need it removed before they can move on. And while I was in these realms, I'd had enough. I was like, look, I don't understand why I'm being shown this. But I don't want it. Why am I seeing this? What's the purpose? And I looked around and this door opened. It was pretty dark and it was like a trap door. These five or six beings, they were human-like. They had pale blue smooth skin. They were featureless and genderless. And they had a strange light coming from their eyes. But they looked fairly human other than that. And one of them was carrying a torch, a light so bright that you couldn't look at it. And they would come down into these realms, a bit like firefighters at a disaster scene. And they would sift through the debris. And those souls who had had enough, but didn't have the strength to pull themselves out, were then rescued and carried out by this group of beings. They were then taken to another level where they had time to rest. And if I could give an analogy, it's like one level below street level. And once those souls had regained their strength, they were able to find their own way out and back onto street level. Then what I saw was, it's hard to describe, but it was like a massive statue of a god who lowered his right hand and scooped up these beings and took them up to the level that they needed to be at. So although some of these people did have a lot of negativity in their lives, they also had a degree of positivity that now all their negativity was released. They were now taken up to a level where they could carry on their journey. And it feels as if it doesn't matter how much negativity someone carries around with them, once they've released it and once they're ready to be changed, there's all the help in the universe to do that for them. So I've had my experience. I can quite honestly say that I think everyone needs to understand how deep negative experiences can go, how important it is to always find beauty in the world, no matter how dark things get, because that tiny little thought of beauty and love can help release massive amounts of negativity out of your life. And that's what I took from that experience. In spiritual circles, we talk about the dark night of the soul. And the best explanation of this comes from a book called Saint John of the Cross, who details the spiritual journey, and especially that of the dark night of the soul. When we do a meditation, especially in a group, we start off with a prayer. And prayer is a safety measure in many ways. You're probably sitting in a room which has got walls, a floor, a ceiling and a roof, windows and doors that lock. And this is to give you shelter from the elements. If you're sitting outside and it's windy, raining, it's hard to concentrate, if it's too hot, random people walk past, birds fly overhead and leave their droppings, you know. And you're sitting in a room that is protecting you from the elements. Constructing a prayer is much like putting those walls, floor and ceiling around you so that you can sit and concentrate on what you're doing. You know you're protected from the elements. When we do a meditation, quite often we'll go on a little journey, and then afterwards we'll talk about it. We'll share in a group, we'll go around in a circle. And if people don't want to share, that's fine, but quite often listening to other people's experiences helps you draw something out of your own meditation. So in the dark night of the soul, you have meditation, contemplation, and then you have something called confession. And the Catholic Church, they have a confessional, and maybe that's been taken to a different degree, but really what you need to do is contemplate on your meditation and then talk about it. By talking about it, it's like a confession, but you have to be honest with yourself. You have to realize why you're seeing what you're seeing and what it teaches you. Because heaven and hell is a state of mind, we have to learn how to navigate and control it to a degree. Whenever you have a thought, that thought can run away with itself. And usually your first thought is carnal or emotional. And for a young man especially, you see a young woman in the street and you find her quite attractive. Your first thought is going to be carnal and emotional. That then can run away with itself and then gain energy and become a little bit more sexual, a little bit more negative as well. And it's very easy to then transmute it by reminding yourself that that woman is someone's daughter, granddaughter, sister, maybe someone's mother, auntie, friend. And that transmutes that carnal thought into a more spiritual one, using your mind. It's very easy to do, but it takes practice. And I was most inspired by the ancient Egyptian symbol, where you will see a pharaoh and he will have his arms crossed, and in one hand is a flail and the other hand is a crook. Because these were shepherds. They used to watch their thoughts like a shepherd watches their sheep. The crook is to stop, you know, to put around the neck of the sheep and draw them back in so they don't wander too far away from the flock. The flail was used to subdue the wild animals and keep them away from the sheep. A lot of people will take that symbolism and say it was a symbol of slavery, a symbol of power and dominance. But the ancient Egyptians were far more sophisticated than that. And they had a very, very strong working knowledge of the afterlife and the astral realms. So they armed themselves with a crook and a flail, not physically, but mentally, to mind your thoughts. You're going to have negative thoughts. You're going to have carnal and emotional thoughts. You're a human being in a physical body. But you have the tools in your mind to help you control them, to help you transmute them. There's a scientific terminology called determinism, that you have no free will and that you will be the result of your physical and chemical surroundings, that you have hormonal reactions to things that you can't change, and everything you do is almost programmed by the world you live in. You don't get to choose what clothes you wear, really, because you have to wear your clothes according to the seasons and the weather. You have to wear clothes according to social conformities and what have you. And that many of the things that you think you have free will over, that you don't. But as true as that is, you do have the free will to choose how you view it. When something bad happens to you, everyone around you will say, oh, that must be awful. God, you know, nothing good can come out of that experience, such as what I've just been through recently. But that's not true, because deep inside, I know that I can transmute that experience into a positive one. I can see it from both angles, and I can choose which one to dwell on and which one not to. My friend who had that experience, he never came out the other side with a positive view. He decided to drop it all, and everything spiritual was bad. It was the work of the devil, according to him. But he didn't listen to the instructions of the people that had the experience. We were told by the circle leader, who was a lovely, very good medium, 50 years experience. We were only in our 30s. She's been doing it longer than we've been alive. And I listened to her, and he didn't. I went to the church that I go to, and I met these mostly women in their 70s, their 60s, 80s. They've raised children, grandchildren. They've even buried children and grandchildren. There's nothing you can tell them that would surprise them or shock them. And I listen to their advice. Still, I have these experiences. But at least I had that working knowledge, that mature understanding, and people to go to for good advice. They teach you prayer, they teach you meditation, and they teach you how to listen. I saw what happened to people that don't do that. And I don't need to make the same mistakes they did to learn from them. I've looked into these realms where people go when they can't let go of the negativity, they can't let go of their stubbornness and their lustful, greedy nature. And what I realized is the spiritual body is a vessel. And if you don't fill it with spiritual knowledge, spiritual love, and spiritual light, something else will try to fill the vessel. And the more love and light you put into it, the less negativity can be in it. It's as simple as that. It's the image of the chalice, of the cup. And if you don't fill it with something, it will be used by other things. And this is your mind, this is your body, this is your spiritual body. We fill it with good things. We fill it with love. Now, I know a lot of people that watch documentaries on serial killers and murderers and all sorts of things, because they're interesting. But I think, what are you filling your mind with? But at the same time, these same people will watch Disney films, cartoons and things like that. And although I don't particularly like them myself, I'm comforted to know that people have filled themselves with these nice, simple things. But sometimes I feel like saying to them, what are you doing? I know that there's darkness out there. Don't fill your mind with it. But that's easy for me to say because I've already done that myself. I've lived a life which gave me the opportunity to understand the hellish nature. I know what those people are going through down there because I've lived a life like that myself. And thankfully, I always knew that there was more to it than that. And I always knew that as much as the world is full of polarities, whatever their potential for joy and abundance, the opposite has to exist as well. But I used to walk around thinking that half of the people were good and half of the people were bad. Now I'm a bit more mature, I understand that everyone has the potential for the greatest joy and abundance, but everyone also has the potential to slip to the other side. It's probably better that we understand the lower nature of man as much as we can and choose love and light instead and be the balance. Each one of us be the balance so that no one is drawn completely to the one side or the other. And when we pass over, because of our spiritual knowledge and understanding, if we have any negativity in our heart, they're easily let go of. Because I noticed that these little creatures that I saw, these imps, these mischievous spirits, they feed off the negative energy. It's their food. And all you've got to do is stop feeding them. Just stop feeding them and they leave you alone. They didn't leave my friend alone because he didn't stop feeding them. He fed them day and night for weeks on end and he didn't realise he was doing it because he didn't listen to people that knew better. So although this is a pretty challenging subject, hopefully you can take something from it. Don't be scared of hell or heaven. Just remember that you have this vessel that you're filling with knowledge and experience. You can always find the beauty in every situation. I was down in some of the darkest realms of hell. As a vision, for my own understanding, not because I deserve to be there, but maybe I did deserve to understand it because that's where I could have been. But the beauty comes in these beings. I don't know what they were, but they were determined to rescue these souls. And something tells me that they never fail. I might write a book about it one day, if I can ever put into words what I saw. But it was this searchlight that they had. It was the light of God. It was so powerful that nothing could look at it. Everything had to turn its eyes away from it, including the beings that were holding it, because it was so powerful. And that light is in every single human soul. That light is there for all of us to find and to bring to the surface. So keep that as your, if you take anything from this podcast, think of that light. That light of God, that light of spirit, it's so powerful that nothing can actually look at it. It can only radiate out. So God bless you.